Welcome, everybody, to episode 4 of Resonant Frequency, the Amateur Radio Podcast. My name is Richard, KB5JBV, and I am your host. Once again, thank you to everybody for downloading this podcast, and we're steadily gaining more and more listeners, and that just really makes me very happy. I also need to mention that we are still searching for a logo. The folks have sent a couple in, but they're not quite it. For those of you who have the relevant talent with a word, or not a word processing program, some of the graphics software, Resonant Frequency is looking for a logo. Go ahead and jump on them and work those logos out. Any picture that has some relevance to amateur radio and possibly has the Resonant Frequency name across it, just about anything will work. We're going to leave this particular thing open until we find the right logo, because I really want to find the right one for everybody involved. When you get those graphics prepared, you can send those to the mailbox at kb5jbv@gmail.com. That's going to be the easiest way to get it to us. Okay, number two. As y'all have noticed, this podcast got posted a couple days early. I'm going to be out of town towards the end of the weekend, so I hope it doesn't inconvenience anybody that I went ahead and put this out a little bit early. It was my thinking that y'all would prefer having it a couple days earlier than a couple days late. So y'all just keep on listening. We'll keep at it. I think that's pretty much everything I've got for this this particular segment. We'll move on to the next one. And this week we're talking with Gary Danaher, AB5RM. Gary is a member of the DX Society here in Texas. I believe it's Lone Star DX Society. And Gary's one of the big guns in the DX thing. He really knocked out a lot of countries, and so I figure we'll just sit around and have a nice little chat today. Good day, Gary.
Well, good day. I'm not sure I would describe myself as a big gun. It's more like a little pistol.
Well, you know, even a little pistol, if you fired enough times, it does the job.
That's true. You just have to work harder at it.
And there you go. Well, Gary, for the uninitiated, the ones that the recently generaled and some of our newer extras that don't really know what the term means, what exactly is DXing?
Well, DX comes in various flavors. The recent generals, or the most recently deceased technicians, I suppose, have access to DX, but DX for them might be a 2-meter station that's 200-400 miles away. So DX is kind of relative to the frequency you're on. For HF purposes, DX normally refers to stations in another country. So to that extent, for stations in the United States, stations almost in any country other than the United States. Actually, DX could be an Alaskan station if it's trying to be worked by a station in Hawaii. And Hawaiian stations are so far removed from the continent that for DXCC purposes, they're really another entity, and they're also considered DX. Anybody can work DX on HF. You can work it from a car. You can work it from an apartment. You can work it from a house. But to be very effective, you need more and more antenna and more power, which generally means more and more space. Acreage is nice. Something that I would love to have, but don't. You just have to work at it. DX is not like an FM conversation on a 2-meter repeater. It requires a trained ear, a lot of hard work, and a lot of time. And the old adage about listening twice as much as you talk just doesn't apply. You have to listen 20 or 30 times as much as you talk in order to make the contact with many of these stations, because they are so remote and so deep in the mud sometimes that it must take an awful lot of effort to hear them and to make a two-way contact.
Well, that's very interesting, and you know, I've worked a little DX myself. You know, I'm what I call is calling an incidental DXer, which I get on the air and talk, and if I grab DX station in the process, it doesn't hurt my feelings much. Well, other than the challenge of trying to work a foreign country, are there any other reasons why somebody would want to get into DXing, possibly paper chasing or something like that?
Well, there's all kinds of paper to be chased. I think for one, some of the brand new generals that are being created this month, you can work all states. That's a nice challenge, and that's a good piece of paper to work. And for that basic award, simply confirm a contact with each of the 50 U.S. states, and that includes Alaska and Hawaii. And that could be on any band. After you have done that, then you can go for five band worked all states. And that's normally 10, 15, 20, 40, and 75 or 80 meters. And it can be CW or phone or PSK or any other mode. But that would be a total of 250 contacts for that award. And we haven't gone outside the United States yet.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Now, other awards. DXCC has been around since the 1930s. Was put on hiatus during World War II. Came back in 1945 under somewhat similar but new set of rules too. And basically everything started over from scratch in 1945 after the war. The award was for working 100 countries. It's now entities because they're not all actually countries. And the rules have changed for what is or is not an entity through the years. And the number of entities has grown. Many have gone away because of political situations. And actually, today it's probably much easier to work 100 entities in a weekend than it was, say, 1950, to work 100 entities or countries in a five-year period. There are other little tools available, one of which are contests, which are organized and sponsored by both ARRL, by CQ Magazine, and by other groups around the country, around the world. Quarter Century Wireless Association has a few contests for CW. The Russian Federation has contests to work former Soviet area states, worked all Europe. There's lots of different contests sponsored by various ham organizations all over the world. And you can make lots of contacts this way. You can work stations and not necessarily enter the contest by submitting logs. But the bottom line is, on a contest weekend, there are a lot of stations on the air. Many, many opportunities to make contacts. And that's where the fun comes in.
Well, I know. I've been known to hang around the edge of the contests anyway. Once or twice I've got up in the morning and heard them have the bands completely full and gone over to whatever website and picked up the rules so I'd have the exchange, and have gotten some, well, what in my what would be good DX in my opinion probably would be something lackluster in someone like your situation, just by hanging out when them contests are around. But Gary, I know you've told me once or twice about some really outstanding contacts you've made. I can't remember any of them off the top of my head, but maybe you can.
I remember one contact that I made. It's been several years ago, and it was so unique I'll never forget it. There was a retired astronaut. His name was Chuck Brady. N4EQW was his call sign. And regrettably, he passed on just a couple years ago after some long illness he had. But I had worked him a number of times from various unusual locations. And I'm certain he didn't remember me from Adam, because when you're off in some rare location, you work tens of thousands of stations, perhaps 100,000 stations over an extended period, and you don't recall call signs. But on this incident, he was on Bouvet Island, which is owned by Norway, I believe, and it's down off the coast of Antarctica. He was there pretty much by himself working on a research project, and after he had some activities in the morning, he had some time for himself for a couple hours before he needed to go do something else. And in those couple hours, he would get on the air and call CQ and work as many stations as he could. Now, in the United States, that typically was in the evenings, our time. I would get on, and understanding I just have a vertical antenna, nothing really fancy, ground-mounted vertical, it doesn't get out that well, and it doesn't generally overcome the power of stations on the East Coast. And I would sit at my station night after night calling and being frustrated because he never really heard me and he didn't come back to me. It's what you do oftentimes. You're giving your call sign repeatedly. Every time he asks for call signs, you give out that call sign at the frequency he's listening, and you hope he hears you. Well, he wasn't hearing me. After about 3 weeks, I was very frustrated. I'm sure a lot of other people were too. I wasn't the only one. On this particular evening, he goes QRT, and the listening frequency, the calling frequency for him falls silent. So several of us change our radios from duplex to simplex back again, and we're just having a little conversation back and forth. And I'm talking to a fella in Georgia who's commenting that he's been listening for several days and hasn't had any luck. And I know I've been listening for over 3 weeks now. I haven't had any luck. I'm on the air every night. And about that time, down in the mud of the noise, I hear him call sign. And I go, what? And somebody else says, he's calling you. I says, no. Yes, he's calling you. He calls my call, 85RM, and gives me a signal report. I give him in return a signal report back, note the time, I've made my contact. Now, what apparently was happening was he had gone off and he was QRT for the morning, had to go do something else, but he left his radio on. And down there, although we have a lot of noise at our end, his noise was non-existent. He was hearing our conversation very clearly, and he took pity on a guy who had been spending 3 weeks every night calling, trying to make a contact. And that was just, I mean, beyond belief, because instead of you calling the DX, who's rare, the rare DX called me. And after I regained my composure, the phone rang. It was a fellow up in Massachusetts who congratulated me and says, yeah, that was really cool. I've never heard anything like that before. And it was for real. I got a card from him later on. And it was very memorable. I would love to have been able to shake his hand and have an eyeball CUSO with him at some time, but tragically that won't happen. That's my story.
Yeah, and we have a lot of them going silent key. Just had one yesterday from down on the traffic nets go that way. But that story does remind me of one that I had, and I'll go ahead and throw it in real quick, and hopefully the listeners won't get too aggravated over it. I was cruising around on the 10-meter band one Saturday morning, real early, about the time the sun come up, back a couple years back when there was still a little activity on there. And I'm cruising up and down, and I start hearing a beacon down in the beacon portion of the band. I figure, yeah, okay. So I zip up and zip back down the band, do that for about 15, 20 minutes. And as I'm running back up, fixing to stop and go get myself something to drink, I hear a voice way off in the noise, and it sounds like he's hollering CQ. Well, I went and got my soda and come back and sat down, waited, and he finally come up to about 2 S units. I figured maybe he can hear me, and wasn't real sure where he was by his call sign because I couldn't find my list. And it turned out his call sign was S9SS, I believe. That might be wrong. But before it was over with, I was getting to talk to this guy, and he was on an island called Sao Tome. And for those of y'all listening who don't know where that is, that's off the southern tip of Africa. And I got him so close into us, so early into us being able to hear him here, that I didn't even have to fight the DX. And I have the card, and I can prove it if any of y'all want to ask. Okay, Gary. Several questions came to mind when you were talking a while ago. You know, earlier we were talking about big fish and little fish, or big guns and little pistols, and that kind of stuff. Do you have to have? I know there's stations out there that run over a kilowatt and have large beam antennas and all that kind of stuff, so that because they're primarily looking for that hard to get DX station. Do you have to have all that heavy-duty equipment to be able to work DX?
Well, that's a good question. And the answer is not a yes or no. To work the first 100 countries, I'll say no. You can do it on a 100-watt transceiver and a vertical antenna. And if you want to work at it for a while, you can do that mobile from your car, because you can get 100 countries. And I said earlier, on a good contest weekend, you can get 100 countries. That's true. Don't have it in front of me, but the calendar for like the CQ Worldwide phone, and most of these new guys are phone operators, find that contest weekend. And be listening when the contest starts, and have your logbook out. You'll work 100 countries in the course of the weekend. So, I mean, you can have DXCC basically in 48 hours. Takes a while to get the cards in, though. Beyond that first 100 countries, it becomes increasingly more difficult to make all the contacts you need with all those other entities at 100 watts. Because, let's face it, there are an awful lot of stations out there that are going to need number 336 and are running 1,500 watts into a Yagi at 70 feet. And they're sending that signal right down the throat of the DX station. And if you're on the vertical at 100 watts, they may hear you. They may not. It may be like my situation with the fellow on Bouvet Island. He just got really, really lucky one time. And people get lucky, but in truth, you probably need to be shopping for some sort of amplifier, at least 500 watts. 1,000 or 1,200, and you need to use it sometimes, not all the time, just sometimes. but it needs to be available to you, because you're going to get frustrated if you don't. And you get frustrated, you might stop. It's really quite enjoyable. The idea is to make the two-way contacts. A few other thoughts. Understand that if you're talking to a station in another part of the United States or in Canada, you can have a nice, casual rag chew. If you're making contacts with a station in France or Germany, you might be able to get a little bit of chit-chat in, but if he's trying to work a lot of stations on a contest weekend, you're getting signal reports and maybe regional reports, and that's it, whatever the contest requires, just that exchange and you go on. Now, if you're working a rare DX station, let's say the Bouvet Island again, call signs and signal reports, and he's off to the next guy. And everybody's going to get mad at you if you're trying to be chatty with somebody. That just isn't going to happen. So understand that, you know, DX isn't going to be a rag chew hobby as such. Working a large number of DX entities means you've got a lot of signal reports under your belt and a lot of QSL cards, but you haven't really had a lot of conversation with people. And in many instances, these people don't speak conversational English. They know enough English to get your call signs, a signal report, and a few other things, and that may be the extent of their English knowledge. So shouldn't expect too much.
Yeah, I know I've run into one or two that, I thought things were going kind of slow and easy and tried to chat with them a second, and they took off. Sometimes down there on HF, you can't really hear everybody that's calling these guys, and even though it may sound clear to what I can hear, then it's liable to be a mess on the other end. There are a couple things I wanted to make sure we got in so the listeners would be able to at least go and research them. Let's talk about some of the resources that are available to DXer. The one that comes to mind most prominently is the DX cluster. What's a DX cluster, Gary?
Okay, DX cluster, or the most commonly, it's if you're using a computer, normally the application is Telnet, and there are any number of Telnet clients that one can use. If you can do a radio over the air, typically there are in larger metropolitan areas, there are stations that operate a DX cluster locally. The idea is that, let's say we're on 2 meters over the air, I hear a DX station. It might not be rare, but it's just a DX station. I'm reporting, let's say, VE7ABC. I report that to my local cluster. That is connected by a network to other clusters around the country and, in fact, around the world. So I'm in W5 land, and I'm reporting that I can hear VE7s. And that information is being read by hams in Canada, the United States, Argentina, Russia. And they might find that useful. Now, they're providing similar kinds of information. And I'm reading that information. And I can see maybe somebody in the state of Mississippi can hear Sao Tome on a particular frequency. So I might want to listen on that frequency, and if I can hear that station, I might be able to work it also. It's a good source of information. Some people might refer to it as a cheat. Maybe it is. Things like this really were not available in the early days of DXing. In the early days, you had to do it the old-fashioned way. You had to listen, and turn the dial very slowly. This is one means of sharing information immediately, and it's useful to making those contacts. So if you're out, you're brand new, and you say, okay, let's try to make 100 contacts as quickly as possible. It's very doable, and using the packet cluster, it's easy to access. Now, there are any number of online packet cluster venues, and if somebody wants to get on the internet and do a little quick search of DX cluster or DX packet cluster, they'll find a list and they can log in using Telnet as the client. And you're not going, it's not like www something, it's similar, but you're going to Telnet to a location, not HTTP a location. And that's probably a discussion for a future date, how to explain that. But they can research that. They do have a Telnet client normally built into their operating system, regardless of what computer they're using. And or there are other Telnet programs. And there are also some Telnet clients that have been designed specifically for that.
The internet's been a real help to amateur radio operators over the last few years. Not only can we get on the DX cluster via Telnet, we can look up space weather and see what the sun's doing, and other things that can help us out in making that, reaching out and touching someone, making that way out contact. Well, Gary, we're coming real close to the end of our segment here. Is there anything you'd like to say concerning DXing before we wrap her up?
Well, you mentioned solar activity, something like that, just briefly. Those solar numbers are also available when you log in to the packet cluster. That stuff is published every few hours as it comes from the government. And it's really the subject for another long web podcast, I suppose, but the ability to make DX contacts is very dependent upon a plethora of factors, one of which obviously is a solar flux, the solar cycle, which is an 11-year cycle, the daily flux, the daily K index, the daily A index. That information is also published. When you log into the DX cluster, that stuff pops up almost immediately, and you can access it later on, and so on and so forth. But it's very important to know what the current numbers are, because it's going to tell you whether you're going to make a contact or not. I mean, you could sit there all day and try to make contact with Japan, but if it's not possible, it's just not going to happen. That information is important, and it can be, I need to explain it in depth, and that could take a great deal of time. It's really the subject of another session.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff you get into great detail over, and it's just really beyond the scope of what we can do in this particular section. But this segment was supposed to be a general overview of DXing, so I think we pretty much accomplished it. And having said that, Gary, thank you for being with us this week.
I'm more than happy to be here, and I enjoyed the contact.
And I think we'll move on to the next segment. Well, there you go. General overview of DXing with AB5REM. Once again, I'd like to thank Gary for being on the show this particular week. In another item, we sadly say goodbye to AC5CI Homer down in Caldwell. Homer was one of our one of our premier traffic handlers here on the HF nets, most notably daytime Texas traffic net and the 7290 traffic net. Homer went out in true traffic handler fashion. It's my understanding he got up and worked daytime Texas traffic net from, I believe it was 8:30 to 9:30. Went and laid down to take a nap before 7290 at 10 o'clock and passed away during his nap and never made that particular 7290 net. Once again, we say goodbye to Homer, AC5CI73 Homer. Well, that's it for this week. Like I said, good overview from Gary, and we really appreciate him coming on the podcast this week. Once again, those of you who are good with graphics programs, we are looking for a logo for Resonant Frequency, the Amateur Radio Podcast, and y'all keep plugging away at it. Keep sending those submissions in. We'll keep going over them. For those of you interested in leaving comments, suggestions, or just want to say hi, go ahead and send us an email at kb5jbv@gmail.com, or go on over and check out the Resonant Frequency, the Amateur Radio Podcast page at kb5jbv.blogspot.com. And if you hear a guest over the course of the podcast that y'all really like, please send me an email on that, because I'd like to know what's working for you and what's not working for you. That way we can go out and find guests that would be more suited to how you guys are operating, get y'all the information you need. Once again, 73s to Homer, AC5CI. He will be missed. And with that, I think we're pretty much done for this week. I will try to have y'all a podcast next week with possibly a little more information in it. I can see this one's running a little bit short, but that's okay. Once again, y'all drop me a line at kb5jbv@gmail.com. And last but not least, let me warn the amateur radio operators up in the Sherman-Denison area that I will be there in the area last part of this week. So y'all listen for me on the repeater, and if you hear me in there, go ahead and say hello and let me know what you think about the podcast. We'd like to thank Midlife Crisis for the music heard on this week's podcast, and until next week, 73.
Giving away. That may be fine for you. I'm saving for my rainy day. Yeah, I've been working way too hard. 9 to 5 every day. Yeah, for you to be giving it. Yeah, just giving it all away. Found someone in need. See, that's not my problem. I think you should tell them to get out like me and get a job. Yeah, I've been paying my taxes, working hard every day. Don't you dare go giving it all away. We'll be right back. hooked on the life. Had little time for play. So don't you dare give all mine away.